Good morning. The message this morning is Jesus, the God who protects, protects us in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who protects. You protect the people of God. You protect those who worship you, those who follow you, God. And this morning, I just ask that you just speak to us, Lord, that your word, that I would communicate your word clearly, God, that I would get out of the way and just let you work through me. God, I just ask that we have ears to hear, God. Lord, and I pray that as we hear it, Lord, it's just not an intellectual exercise, but God, that we hear how to apply that into our everyday life. Lord, I just ask you to speak to us. Lord, if there's any distractions, anything going on in our lives, in our jobs, and just in our homes and our families, God, Lord, that right now that those distractions would be taken away, and God, that we would focus in on you, God, and that your Holy Spirit, Lord, we just say your Holy Spirit has free reign here to just to touch, to move, to heal, deliver, to set people free, God, for those who are here and those who are listening online, God. Lord, I just ask that you just bless us, that you just touch us, that you be with us now. In your name, amen. John chapter 10, I'm going to start on that first verse, go to the 21st verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, and I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others are saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of a blind, can he? So one of the things I just want to point out is the connection here between chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, and going back into John chapter 9, I think it's verses, basically the end of the chapter where the blind man is healed. They're still having this conversation that's been going on, and this is the connection. And so here Jesus is highlighting, saying that I am the good shepherd, that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, they are the hired hands. They don't care, truly care about the people of Israel. They don't care about the blind man himself. And so keep this in mind as we're reading, that really what's being said is very close in connection to what went on in chapter 9. Have you ever wondered why God calls a sheep? I've heard a lot of bad preaching, a lot of bad teaching on this exegesis of the passage. A lot of times what we talk about is when we talk about the people of God being called sheep, we almost take it as some type of slight. They'll be like, oh, you know, is it an interesting that God compares us to sheep? Sheep have small brains. They're stupid animals. And they make a lot of stuff like that. And saying, you know, God compares us to sheep because we have this preponderance to wander astray. And actually, that's actually not why God calls us sheep. It is not meant a slight in any way. God is not calling us stupid. He is not trying to highlight the fact that we have a preponderance, a tendency to want to wander. That's not what he's saying, okay? What he's saying is here is when he uses the idea of a sheep and a shepherd, is the sheep and the shepherd are probably one of the most common images in the biblical world. Anywhere, if you would have went anywhere in the biblical world, anywhere in all of Israel, anywhere in Samaria, they would have understood the imagery. They would have understood sheep. They would have understood the shepherd. They would understand when Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd, they would understand what he means. They would understand using the reference of the sheepfold and all of these things. These would not be lost. And so he's using imagery that they would understand. And this is actually a common thing, that Jesus uses agricultural imagery because they live in an agrarian society. He uses imagery about grapes and vines. Why? Israel's a producer of grapes and vines. He talks about wheat. They grow a lot of wheat in Israel. And so he uses imagery that they understand. The other thing, it also highlights, at a higher, even higher level, more spiritual level, is that it highlights the spiritual battle for the soul of humanity, okay? Jesus is highlighting, he's showing them by using this imagery of sheep and shepherds and thieves and hired hands, because he's showing the Jews there, he's highlighting that there is a spiritual battle going on for humanity, and that he, the good shepherd, has the best interest in hand at him, but there's also a thief, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that thief, if they gets a hold of people, wants to bring destruction, wants to bring separation, wants to bring harm for them. But Jesus says, I come and bring life, and I bring it more abundantly. The other thing is there is a rich imagery in the Old Testament of shepherds. And actually in the Old Testament, God is pictured as the shepherd of Israel. So if you read in the book of Psalms, there's a lot of different psalms, Psalm 78, 79, 80, 95, 100. All of these highlight this imagery that God is the shepherd of Israel. Now, interestingly, that now we have Jesus, the Son of God. He is the incarnation of God in the flesh. And he comes and says, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep. And so there is this connection to the Old Testament. He's saying, I've come to make sure that my sheep are protected. I've come to give life to my sheep. I've come to make sure that they have life and have it more abundantly. And so it brings us to our first point this morning. The devil wants to harm the people of God. Let me say that again. The devil wants to harm the people of God. Okay, verse one. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Okay, so one of the things of this imagery of sheep is they would have these sheepfolds. And basically, a lot of times they were branches and they were put together and intertwined together. And they were used as kind of like a paddock or kind of like an area that they could go into at night to be protected. It would keep them from animals getting them, but it would also keep some of the elements off of them. You know, and they would be built at a certain level. And so if the wind came, they would be less likely to, you know, feel the wind on them, and there would be some protection. And that the shepherd could watch them in the paddock at night and make sure that they're safe. But interestingly, Jesus says that there is a thief, okay, and that a thief and a robber, they come and that they will climb up. They're climbing some other way. They're not going to come through the door, okay? This thief is not going to come through the door. He's going to climb over. He's going to sneak in. And what is his purpose? Well, he wants to harm the sheep. He wants to steal the sheep. Why? The sheep are in a safe place. They're protected. They're, you know, imagine they have the warmth of one another, okay? They have the protection of the shepherd. They're in the sheepfold. They have this protection, right? But now the thief is coming in and wants to steal. And this is really what the devil is doing, is he wants to come and harm us, the people of God. God has gathered us into his church, right? The church is not just a building, but the church is the people of God called together, united in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We are people of the Spirit. We are people of God. We are the people of God, right? And so in the church, we've been called together. But interestingly, just like the sheep, now the devil wants to come into the church, okay? And, it, you know, one of the sayings that came out of, I think it was a Saint Francis, it said, wherever God built the church, the devil would build he would build something right next to it, basically. I forget the word there, but the idea is that he will come in and he wants to harm the people of God. He'll come into the church. He's going to come into the meeting of the saints. And I'm not just talking about like the church meeting, but the devil will come and try to steal the people of God away. He's going to try to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Because remember, he doesn't want us to be in right relationship with God. He doesn't want us to be in right standing with one another. He doesn't want us to be in right standing with fellow human beings. He wants to see chaos. You know, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's his purpose, right? The thief's purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's times that, think about it, if that's the devil's purpose, why do we want anything to do with them? But there's times we, in our culture, in our modern society, we almost feel like, oh, there's a church of Satan, and there's weird stuff like this, right? And I'm not talking about just that sort of stuff, but he wants to come and he wants to take us away from our relationship with God. He wants to destroy that relationship with God. And how does that happen? Well, he comes into the church. He comes into our fellowship. All of a sudden, we no longer want to pray. We no longer want to read our Bible. We don't feel well on Sunday. Why is it? Okay. If you talk to Christians, if you find out the time and day of week when they have the most fights in their home, when their children don't feel the best, their children don't act up, you don't feel good, you'll probably find statistically it's Sunday morning that when a lot of these things are coming up. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to come to church. He doesn't want you to be in fellowship with other believers. He doesn't want you to hear the word of God. And so, you know, when you're in fellowship with other believers, when you're in the church praying, when you're doing all these things, there's an encouragement. You're built up, you're strengthened, you're in the sheepfold, you're protected by the shepherd, right? But he wants to get you out of that. Now, can we be honest? There's times that when you're in the sheepfold, that there are people who are not there, who they're not really sheep. They're not really people of God. They're there to, for whatever purpose, but they're there to lead you astray. So the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to harm the people of God. Who are the people of God? It's people who follow Jesus, Christians, people who are in right relationship, people who are truly part of the church. second part of this is when we look at the text here, one of the things that Jesus is talking about, he's talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to the Jewish leaders, right? And he's saying, verse 12, I mean, it had to be like a 2x4 hitting them in the face, because he's saying that some spiritual leaders don't care about the people of God. They don't care about the sheep. Verse 12, he said, he who is a hired hand is not a shepherd. Who is not the owner of the sheep? He sees the wolf coming and he flees the sheep, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Well, if we go back to chapter 9, the blind man, he's been blind all of his life. Jesus comes and heals him. And what do? They kick him out of the synagogue. They've kicked him out of the sheep paddock. He no longer is safe. They don't care. They're going to allow him to be destroyed. Physically destroyed spiritually. And so here Jesus is saying that, hey, be careful. These leaders do not care about the people of God. And here's the thing. Sometimes we watch YouTube. YouTube is a great medium. You can watch a lot of different things on there. If you like sports, you can watch all kinds of, you can watch your favorite player's highlights over their whole career. And you can do that in 15 minutes, right? There's good preaching on YouTube. There's good teaching on YouTube. You know what there is, though? There's also bad teaching on YouTube. There's heretical teaching on YouTube. There's teaching that will lead you astray on YouTube, okay? But it's just not YouTube. There's other mediums and other places. There are people who come. They will claim to be leaders. They will claim to be spiritual people. They'll even claim to be Christians sometimes, or, you know, claim to have this connection with God, and they will lead the people of God astray. You know, think about the different cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, different religions, Islam, all these people, they're vying for your attention. They're trying to get your attention and get you to worship, but they don't really care. They are not the true shepherd, okay? They will lead you astray. They will lead you out of God's protection where you can be harmed. Spiritual, so here's the thing. We just have to be honest, because I know you're like, hey, I've seen Christians who are walking with the Lord and bad things happen to them. Hey, my Aunt May was a praying woman, and she was a godly woman, and, you know, she did everything she was supposed to, and, you know, Aunt May got hit by a car. Here's the thing. When I say that Jesus is the God who protects, I don't mean that bad things aren't going to happen to you, okay? I'm not saying that life isn't, I'm not saying that you may not get cancer. You know, you may get cancer later on in life, okay? You may get into a car accident and get hurt. Bad things may come to you. That's not what I'm saying he's going to protect you from. What I'm saying he's going to protect you from is the wiles, the schemes, where the devil's trying to come steal, kill, and destroy you, okay? And when it says that he's coming to kill you spiritually. He's not, you know, he'll kill you physically, but his goal is really to kill you spiritually, okay? Because when you're dead, when you die and you don't know Jesus, you're destined. You're not going to go to heaven. So I just want to point out that, you know, spiritual harm can come to the people of God, okay? It just in the natural world, life happens, okay? We live in a fallen world where sinful things happen. There's earthquakes, there's tornadoes, there's sickness, there's disease. These will even come to Christians. But here's the other thing that you need to know. Spiritual harm can come to the people of God when they disobey God and wander, okay? If you decide, hey, I don't want to be in the sheep paddock. I don't want to be in the sheepfold. I don't want to be around. I don't want to be here with the other godly sheep. I want to go out and wander without the shepherd, without, you know, these protective walls. If you go out, harm will come to you, okay? Now, you may find enjoyment in your season of sin. You may enjoy the season of sin. You may enjoy whatever it is that you're doing out there. It can be drugs. It can be alcohol. You could just be thinking, hey, I'm just out here living my best life. But here, living your best life and God's best life are not the same things, all right? So the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil wants to harm the people of God. And if he can't sneak into the sheep paddock, he's going to be telling you, whispering, hey, why don't you come out here? See, it's way bigger out here. It's funner out here. Come out here. You're missing something out here. You know, oh, Christianity has all these rules that you can't do this. You can't do that. Well, you know, here's the thing. I tell I warn you, you can't put your hand in the fire. Why? Because you'll get burned. You know, there's a rule, and it's a rule there for a purpose. And a lot of times we think that God's rules have no purpose. I mean, you just may not have figured them out, but God has rules and purposes to protect you. Point two, Jesus is the protector of the people of God. So the devil wants to harm the people of God, but Jesus is the protector of the people of God. Verse three. It says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Yeah, that's Jesus. So here's the thing. Okay, Jesus is the door. He tells us that. Verse 7. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Okay? So what he's saying is, if you're going to get into the sheepfold, if you're going to come in and be part of the people of God, it has to be done through him. Later on in John, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. Okay? Except through me. There's not another option. There's not five different ways. It's not like Rome where all roads lead to Rome. No, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father through me. But not only is Jesus the door, it says he's the shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is the door. He's a shepherd. All right. Verse three, there's a doorkeeper. God is that doorkeeper in verse three. Okay. Or the gatekeeper. He's the one making sure that he's only letting in the shepherd. The sheep only get to get in to the sheepfold because they know the shepherd. Okay. So he's the gatekeeper, but you don't get in unless you know Jesus. The sheep are the people of God. Again, not meant to be a slight. It's not meant to be a thing. Here's the thing. Sheep are interesting animals, okay? The sheep that they had in the Middle East, they were the perfect animal for the Middle East, okay? They had a lot of things that were working for them. They were a food source, okay? They produced milk. So you could do milk, you could do milk, you could do cheese, you could do curds. So they're a food source, okay? They also provided wool so that you could provide clothing. And so having sheep was a great thing. It gave you clothing. It gave you food. You could even use it as a meat source if you really wanted to. It wasn't very common in ancient Israel for them to eat sheep. The most common food would have been grain, followed by different cheeses, oils, and different, beans and things of that nature, right? But sheep, they can go quite a time without drinking water. But one of the things that sheep does is they graze, okay? And as they graze, they wander out. They're walking around. They just don't sit in one place and eat. They go from place to place to eat. And so, people say the sheep have a propensity to wander. Yeah, that's how they eat, right? And that's why Jesus talks about that the sheep come in and out of the fold, right? Because he's leading them in the pastures. That's why Psalm 23 says, I lead them into green pastures. Because a green pasture is a good place for a sheep to be, because it's luscious, it's green, it's fresh, it's a good food source. So we are the people of God, okay? The sheep are the people of God. We are the church of God, okay? But in order to be that, you must come through the door. The sheep must enter through Jesus to be part of the church. Verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. It's through Jesus, okay? It's not through no one else. It wasn't through the Pharisees, okay? The Pharisees are just hired hands. They kicked the man out of the synagogue, right? It wasn't the Jewish elite. It wasn't the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders at that time, the people who actually, they weren't even Jewish. They were Idumeans. They were Edomites. They weren't even true Jewish people. And so he's saying, you have to come through me. If you're going to experience the protection, if you're going to be part of the sheepfold, if you're going to be come in and experience that protection, you have to do it through me. So Jesus is the protector of the people of God. Not only is he a protector, but look, he says, you know, he says, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. That's verse 10. He contrasts himself to the thief. Now the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Some translators say that they have life richly. Doesn't mean that he's going to make you rich, but that you're experiencing goodness in life. That, you know, the life that you have in Christ, the life that you have when you're part of the church, when you're part of the people of God, is a better life than what you can ever have out in the world. See, the world says you can have this, you can have that, you can do what you want, you can experience all these things. Just because you can experience something doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good thing. Some of the worst advice someone told me, where they were like, oh, you got divorced. Now, as a pastor, you know what it's like to experience divorce. You can talk to someone. Yeah, that's not always a thing that you need to experience, you know. Divorce, it causes a spiritual scar. Or, oh, you had a child die. Now you can minister to other people who've had other children die. Yeah, no one really wants to lose a kid. That's bad advice, right? I would much rather, you know, as I don't want one of my kids to die so I can relate to parents who had children who died. No, we can just love on those people, right? We don't need to experience. What I'm saying is, we don't have to experience, you know, you don't need to experience drugs to think that you've experienced the world. You don't need to, sleep with, you know, 28 different people to experience what the goodness all the world has. God has a better plan. He has a better plan. He has life, and he come to give life. And life more abundantly. Remember, because really, Satan will show us something that looks good. But remember, his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. That leads us to our third point. Jesus is the protector of the people of God. Why? Because Jesus, point three, Jesus laid down his life for the people of God. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Okay, why is he the now? This is going to seem a bit counterintuitive. All right, how is it that it's not okay? Let's just be practical here for a moment. If you're a sheep and you're out in the field and the shepherd gives its life for you, what good is a dead shepherd? A dead shepherd does no earthly good. He no longer can protect you. Okay. This is really what separates Jesus. Not only, but remember, the hired hand runs off and lets you get injured. And so here's the thing. We were all destined to have to deal with our sin problem. Okay? We had a sin problem. We all had to deal with it. In essence, when Jesus died on the cross, he really took our place. Really, as sinners, our place should have been on a cross. Okay? Not only that was just the cross, that separation, that eternal separation from God is something that we actually deserve to experience. And when Jesus laid down his life for us, okay, the people of God, his sheep, he took our place. Okay, so that's how you want to know how Jesus protects the people of God. He went to the cross in our place to die on our behalf, so we no longer had to deal with this problem of sin and death. So Jesus makes the ultimate sacrifice. Why? Because he loves us. Okay. The hired hand didn't love him. The devil, the thief, the robber, they don't love the sheep. They don't love the people of God. The cross is the ultimate sacrifice. Ultimate sacrifice. Why? Because he loved us. You imagine Jesus never experienced sin. He doesn't know what sin is like. He's never committed sin. Okay. Then he goes to the cross and he has to bear our punishment. That's love. But not only is it because he loves us, but it's because Jesus makes the ultimate sacrifice because we belong to him. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. We are his own. Okay. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. but not only fearfully and wonderfully made, that he was there. He, you know, he knew us before we were in the womb, according to Jeremiah, right? You know, and so he knitted us, he made us, you know, we were intimately known to God, that we belong to him. We don't belong to the thief. We don't belong to Satan. We don't belong to other ideologies trying to pull us away, you know, and we get captivated by different ideologies, different philosophies. You know, we're so captivated and we think, oh, if I can just make myself look, if I could just lose 30 more pounds, I could look at myself in the mirror and feel better. If I could just have a different shaped nose, I could feel better about myself. If I could just espouse this and believe this philosophy or this idea or this thing about myself, that I could feel better about myself. Here's the thing. You're already loved more than you could ever love yourself by God. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to lose weight. We shouldn't try to be better, make ourselves better. That's not what I'm saying. We want to be healthy. We want to do these things. But losing enough weight so you can have the right shape when you look in the mirror isn't going to change how you feel about yourself. Ultimately, you might think you feel better about yourself, but God loves you even more. The depths of God's love is that he was willing to die for you. Jesus chose to die on a cross, and it was not forced on him. Verse 18, just in case we ever thought, Jesus went to the cross by accident. No, he says, no one has taken it away. He says, well, let's start in verse 17. He says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down so I may take it up again. So here's the thing. Yeah, Jesus is the good shepherd. He will die on the cross, but we know that he's resurrected back to life. He says, so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. He's saying, hey, this is not an accident. The Romans aren't going to send me to the cross. You're not going to send me to the cross. I'm doing this out of my own volition. I'm doing this because you belong to me, and you're so important to me, and I love you so much that I'm willing to take your punishment. I'm willing to take your crime, and I'm willing to take this on. Why? Because I'm the God who protects, and anyone else, they don't do this. They're willing to let you be slaughtered by the wolves. They're willing to steal you away. They're willing to lead you astray. And then you may think this is great. You may think you're having good fun, but eventually it comes back. We all have to pay a price someday. We may not pay it in this world. You may live your best life in this world. Okay. Your life could be great. You could have millions of dollars. You could experience the best that life has to offer. You could see all the world and have all these great experiences. But there will come a time when your life ceases and you stand before the judgment throne of God, and you have to answer for what you've done. So people are like, they want to see. I see people, they get so mad. We need to get Derek Chauvin, or we need to get Hitler. Or we need to get these people. Yeah, okay. I'm not saying we shouldn't have justice, but here's the thing. They will see ultimate justice, okay? They will see ultimate justice. But Jesus is the God who protects. So this brings us to our big idea this morning. Jesus protects those who follow and obey him, okay? I think that's important, because I think a lot of times we like to... We want to claim the name of Jesus. We want to claim to be Christians, but we don't necessarily want to follow and obey him, okay? And the sheep only is protected as long as they're willing to abide and follow the shepherd, okay? Now, the sheep wanders off. Why? Because they're looking for good pasture. They want to eat. That is their natural inclination, where the shepherd will use the hook and call them back. Hey, you're wandering off too far. I don't want you to get hurt. And a good sheep, okay, a person of God, you're telling me I should turn around. Okay, let me turn around so I can stay protected. So the people of God can only remain under God's protection when we remain faithful. So here's the thing. Stay under Jesus' protection by remaining faithful and stay in the church. You know, and I'm not saying if you're in a bad church that you shouldn't go find a good Bible-believing church. But here's the thing. I know the church isn't perfect. I know we've had a lot of foolishness come out of the church. I know there's people who say stupid stuff in the church. And I know there's times the church gets embroiled and entangled in different political controversies and stuff. But here's the thing. The church is the institution that God uses. You go to the New Testament, God is using the church. It is the vehicle by which he uses the church. And this is, you know, God's institution that he brings people into. Okay. It's an imperfect institution. Why? Because we're involved in it. Okay. Just know that God's vision, God's plan is eventually the church will be spotless. It will be blameless. It will be transformed. And so, you know, we are not where we want to be. Even in, you know, all of us here, listen online, we're not where we want to be in life. We know that God is doing something. And I'm not talking about, you know, hey, I want a Lamborghini. I want this or I want that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the thing that God has called us to in life, the vision that God has, is the place that he's called us to. We may not be there, but God is taking us there. But we're only going to get there if we come under the protection of Jesus. We follow him. We remain faithful. Let's pray. Lord, Jesus, you are the God who protects. You protect us against the thief, the robber. Lord, you did not allow us to come under a hired hand. You're the good shepherd that laid your life down for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that we be found faithful. Lord, I ask that you bless us, that you keep us, that you watch over us this week. Lord, just be with us. Help us to walk with you and to know you. And I just pray these things in your name. Amen.